a shield on a cloudy grey background. Inside the shield, the letters WB, Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. A book opens, revealing blank pages. On a wall, a photo of a boy standing beside a small dog. In animation, long spindly fingers on a willowy hand and arm stretch out for a quill and start to draw on the pages. Curved lines and circles form the shape of a butterfly. Drawing the butterfly is a thin-faced, floppy-haired young man, Victor. The sketch done, he closes the book. A butterfly flutters in a bell jar on his windowsill. Victor opens the window in front of him and lifts the domed bell jar. Tim Burton's Corpse Bride. The blue butterfly with white spots on its wings flaps around the room, then flies out of the window into the 19th century European town. The shapes and styles of the buildings vary in the grey town, where the vivid blue butterfly descends towards the street. It flies past the clock of a clockmaker's shop. In the window, the pendulums all tick at the same pace, matching the rhythm and back and forth direction of the man sweeping the pavement. The butterfly crosses a cobbled street. A cat flicks its long, curving tail as fish fall into a basket in front of it. One man flips fish one at a time onto a table as another man brings down a cleaver to lop off their hands. The bodies and tails drop into the basket. Two bearded men nod to each other.
Hey, 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 hey. 10 minutes to go till Van Gogh's wedding rehearsal!
Ah. The bell-shaped town crier walks past a superior long-chinned man who wafts the butterfly. The man with the cough, who is flipping the fish, climbs up onto a carriage, a pipe in his mouth. He drives past an old lady. He sputters and stops at a door under Victor's window. On top of the carriage, a fish in the legend Van Dort's fish. The door opens.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a rather nice day.
A day for a glorious wedding.
A rehearsal, my dear, to be perfectly clear.
A rehearsal for a glorious wedding.
Assuming nothing happens that we don't really know.
That nothing unexpected interferes with the show.
And that's why everything, every last little thing, every single tiny microscopic little thing must go.
According to plan.
Our son will be married.
According to plan.
Our family carrier elevated to the heights of society.
To the costume ball.
In the hallowed halls.
Rubbing elbows with the finest.
Having trumpets with her highness.
We'll be there, we'll be seen, having tea with the queen. We'll forget everything
that we've ever been.
Mrs. Van Dort steps on the food plate.
It's my dress is cold.
Come on, dear. Here you go.
It's not me, it's my dress is cold.
Where is Victor? He might be late.
They're being watched by the Evercloths through binoculars from across the square.
Fish merchants. It's a terrible day.
Now, don't be that way.
It's a terrible day for a wedding.
It's a sad, sad state of affairs we're in.
That has led to this ominous wedding.
How could our family have come to this?
To marry off our daughter to the nouveau riche. They're so common.
So coarse.
Oh, it couldn't be worse.
Couldn't be worse. I'm afraid I disagree. They could be land-rich, bankrupt aristocracy without a penny to their name, just like you and me.
Oh, dear. And that's why everything, every last little thing, every single tiny microscopic little thing must go.
Daughter will wed.
According to plan.
A family led.
From the depths of deepest poverty. To the noble realm.
Of our ancestry.
And who would have guessed in a million years
that our daughter with the face of an otter in disgrace
would provide our tickets to our rightful place.
Victoria Evergot, a slim pretty girl, is laced into a corset. By an old housemaid.
Oh, here's the card. What if Victor and I don't like each other?
As if that has anything to do with marriage. Do you suppose your father and I like each other?
Surely you must, a little.
Of course not.
Get those corsets laced properly. I can hear you speak without gasping.
Victor rushes into the carriage. It sets off round the square.
You certainly hooked the winner this time, Victor.
Now all you have to do is reel her in.
I'm already reeling, Mother. Shouldn't Victoria Everglot be marrying a lord or something?
Oh, nonsense. We're every bit as good as the Everglots. I always knew I deserved better than a fish merchant's life.
But I've never even spoken to her.
Well, at least we have that in our favour. Mayhew! Silence that blasted coughing!
Emile, the Everglot's butler, his long-beaked nose pointed in the air, dusts the grand staircase.
Marriage is a partnership, a little tit-for-tat. You'd think a lifetime watching us might have taught her that. Might have taught her
everything
that.
Must be perfect. Everything must be perfect. Perfect. That's why everything, every last little thing, every single tiny microscopic little thing must go according to plan.
Emil opens the door.
Look, but you've got rickets or something. What the... Oh.
Mrs. Van Dort turns from Victor and enters the house.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, such grandeur. Such impeccable taste. Oh, beautiful, isn't it?
Emile's walrus moustache curls.
It's not as big as our place, dear.
Emile scuttles past.
No, a bit shabby, really, isn't it?
Shut up.
Lord and Lady Everglot, Mr. and Mrs. Van Dort.
Why, you must be Miss Victoria. Oh, yes, I must say, you don't look a day over 20. No, yes.
Mrs. Everglot sneers.
Smile, darling, smile.
The rotund, round-faced Lord Everglot twists his lips into a smile.
Well, hello. What a pleasure. Welcome to our home.
Oh, thank you. We will be taking tea in the West drawing room. Well, do come this way. It's just for the...
Oh, I love what you've done with the place. Who is your decorator?
Nice tiles. Shame about the drapes.
Oh, my husband says such foolish things. Ignore him.
Ah, oh, yes.
Victor dallies beside a piano. He's left alone in the large hallway. Victor looks furtively down the corridor, then plays again. He sits. A small vase with a single stem of tiny flowers stands on the piano. Upstairs, Victoria's primping her hair. She turns wide-eyed on hearing the music and walks out onto the balcony above the grand staircase. She glides down the stairs as Victor plays on, oblivious, his back to her. Hands behind her back, she pitter-patters across the tiled floor to stand beside him. He leaps up, knocks the vase, and steadies it.
Do forgive me.
You play beautifully.
I do apologise, Miss Everglot. How rude of me to... Well, excuse me.
He picks up the piano stool he tipped over.
Mother won't let me near the piano. Music is improper for a young lady. Too passionate, she says.
If I may ask, Miss Everglot, where is your chaperone?
Perhaps, in view of the circumstances, you could call me Victoria.
Yes, of course. Well, Victoria?
Yes. Victor?
Tomorrow we are to be...
Married.
Yes. Married.
Since I was a child, I've dreamt of my wedding day. I always hoped to find someone I was deeply in love with. Someone to spend the rest of my life with. Silly, isn't it?
Yes, silly. No. No, not at all. No. Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
Leaning on the piano, he upsets the vase and the stem of flowers falls out. Victoria picks it up. He takes it from her.
What impropriety is this? You shouldn't be alone together. Here it is, 1 minute before five, and you're not at the rehearsal. Pastor Goldswells is waiting. Come at once.
3 hours later...
Pastor Van Dort, from the beginning, again. With this hand, I will lift your sorrows. Your cup will never empty, for I will be your wine. With this candle, I will light your way in darkness. With this ring, I ask you to be mine. Let's try it again.
Yes, sir. With this candle.
Victor's candle fails to light.
This candle.
And again.
This candle.
And again.
Shall I get up there and do it for him? Don't get all flattered, dear.
The Everglots glare grim-faced. Pastor Goldswells. The candle's lit.
With this candle.
He blows it out.
Continue! Give the door, Emil. Let's just pick it up at the candle bit.
Emil scuttles back in.
A Lord Barkis, sir.
His card. Lord Barkis Bittern is the man who swatted the butterfly.
I haven't a head for dates. Apparently, I'm a day early for the ceremony.
Is he from your side of the family?
I can't recall. Emil, a seat for Lord Barkis.
It arrives. Just in time. Victor and Victoria stare at him.
Do carry on.
Let's try it again, shall we, Master Van Dort?
Yes. Yes, sir. Certainly.
Right.
Right. Oh! Right! With this...
hand.
With this hand, I will...
Oh. Three steps! Three! Can you not count? Do you not wish to be married, Master Van Dort?
No, no.
You do not?
No. I meant no, I do not wish to be married. That is, I want very much to... Ow!
Pay attention! Have you even remembered to bring the ring?
The ring?
Yes, of course.
Van Dort gives a thumbs up, then Victor drops the ring.
Dropping
the
ring!
No, he's dropped the ring!
This boy doesn't want to get married!
Oh, disgrace!
Excuse me. Bobby.
He retrieves it from under Lady Everglot's dress where he dropped his candle.
Out of the way, you ninny!
The dress is aflame. Everglot stamps on it. Barkis pours a goblet of wine over the flames, then tosses the goblet aside. Emil catches it on a tray.
Enough! This wedding cannot take place until he is properly prepared.
He bears down on Victor.
Young man, learn your vows.
The tall, sinister pastor points a bony finger at Victor, who's conscious of all eyes being on him. He backs away. Against the door, he reaches for a handle and runs out.
Well, he's quite the catch, isn't he?
Lord Barkis Bittern, a man with a big chin and coiffured hair, examines his manicure. Victoria blinks slowly and deliberately. Victor leans on the parapet of a bridge outside the town, clutching the stem of flowers.
Oh, Victoria. She must think I'm such a fool. This day couldn't get any worse.
Hear ye! Hear ye! Rehearsal in ruins as Van Dort boy causes chaos! Fishy fiance could be canned! Everglot's all fired up as Van Dort disaster ruins rehearsal!
Victor wanders off.
It really shouldn't be all that difficult. It's just a few simple vows. With this hand, I will take your wine. No.
He's in a forest.
With this hand, I will cup your... Oh, goodness, no.
He moves deeper in.
With this candle, I will...
He stops by a gnarled old tree.
I will set your mother on fire. Oh, it's no use.
He searches in his inside pocket for the flowers. Victor holds the stem in his hand, then brings it up to his nose. Having sat down, he stands.
With this hand, I will lift your sorrows. Your cup will never empty, for I will be your wine.
He tosses the ring and catches it.
Ah, Mrs. Everglot. You look ravishing this evening. What's that, Mr. Everglot? Call you Dad, if you insist, sir. With this candle, I will light your way in darkness. With this ring, I ask you to be mine.
On a snowy hillock, he slips the ring over a twig, pointing upwards like a finger. A breeze blows up. The twig and the others beside it flex. Victor turns to see trees filled with ravens. The twigs reach out like a skeletal hand and pull Victor to the snow-covered ground. He gets to his feet, the twigs wrapped around his spindly wrist. He breaks free, but the snapped-off twigs, looking ever more like a bony hand and wearing the wedding ring on one of the gnarled twig-like fingers, are still attached to his wrist. He shakes them off. He looks across at the snowy hillock, which starts to shake. A hand emerges from under the ground, then a body rises serenely to stand in front of Victor. He sees before him a bride, her face covered by a veil. The bride lifts the veil.
I do.
She reaches out her hand to Victor, who scampers away. The corpse bride's other hand, the ring twitches and claws its way after Victor. She scoops it up. Victor slips down a verge and cracks his head on a gravestone in the old cemetery. He sees the bride following him and runs smack into a tree. He puts his hand over his left eye and peers through the right. He sees two brides and turns. Back into the tree. He races round the tree and onto a frozen stream. He struggles to keep his balance. The corpse bride, her face covered in skin, her dress in tatters, and her arms stretched out in front of her, glides towards Victor, who skips off the ice and runs through the graveyard. In the distance, he sees the bridge to the town. The undergrowth gets thicker and slows him down. He rips his jacket as he breaks free. The ravens follow him to the bridge, where Victor stops and leans over the parapet. He straightens up, then looks around. There's no one behind him on the bridge. In front of the forest, a church with a huge circular window above its arched doorway. Victor walks a few paces backwards, then turns. He comes face to face with his corpse bride. Victor backs away from her and leans against the parapet. She places her hands on his shoulders and leans close to him as ravens circle overhead.
You may kiss the bride.
The world seems to spin as she moves her lips towards his. The bride and a skeleton smoking a pipe lean over Victor.
A new arrival!
He must have fainted. Are you all right?
What happened?
By Jove, man! Looks like we got ourselves a breather!
Does he have a dead brother?
He's still soft.
The land of the dead is a riot of colour.
A doorstep!
General Bones apart a sword through his midriff drinks. A hussar holds out the sword and fills his glass as the ale flows out.
To the newlyweds!
Newlyweds?
Ah, in the woods, you said your vows so perfectly.
I did.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Bonjour! Coming through! My name is Paul. I am the egg waiter.
Literally, ahead.
I will be creating your wedding feast.
Wedding feast? I'm salivating.
Maggots.
Oh!
The bride stuffs the maggot back into an eyeball.
Keep away!
Victor grabs the sword inside the short Napoleon lookalike General Bones apart and lifts it and him up.
I've got a dwarf, and I'm not afraid to use him. I want some questions, now.
Answers. I think you mean answers.
Thank you, yes, answers. I need answers.
What's going on here?
Where am I? Who are you?
Well, that's kind of a long story.
What a story it is. A tragic tale of romance, passion,
and a murder most foul.
This is gonna be good.
Oh!
A skeleton and a bowler hat.
Get it, boys.
Bonejangles goes to a skeleton trio. Wrapping their skulls into ribcage, Bonejangles waits for a piano intro.
Hey!
give me a listen. You corpses of cheer, listos of you, who still got an ear. I'll tell you a story, make a skeleton cry of our own jubiliciously lovely corpse bride.
Die, die, we outcast gay. Help her crown, cause it's really okay. You might try high and you might try pray, but we all end up the remains of the day.
Victor is trapped between the Prussian Hussar and General Bonesapart. Phone jangles.
Well, our girl was a beauty known for miles around when a mysterious stranger came into town. He was plenty good looking, but down on his cash. And our poor little baby, she fell hard and fast when her daddy said no. She just couldn't cope, so our lovers came up with a plan to elope.
Die, die, we all pass away. But don't go around, cause it's really okay. You might try and hide.
The head waiter is kicked in the air like a football. The skeleton trio step forward, one flips over like a double bass.
That's it. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Come on, boys, pick it up. Yeah. Like it. Okay, Chauncey, take it.
Phone jangles jives with Victor. A line of skeletons stand side by side. In unison, they lift off their skulls and transfer them right.
Nice. Yeah, so they conjured up a plan to meet late at night. It turned out a soul kept the whole thing tight. Now her mother's wedding dress fit like a glove. You don't need much when you're really in love. Except for a few things, or so I'm told. Like the family jewels and a satchel of gold. Then next to the graveyard by the old oak tree, on a dark foggy night at 2:45, she was ready to go, but where was he?
And then?
She waited.
And then?
There are the shadows. Was it the man?
And then?
The little heartbeat so loud.
And then?
And then, baby, everything went black. Now when she opened her eyes, she was dead as dust. Jewels were missing and her heart was bust. So she made a vow lying under that tree that she'd wait for her true love to come set her free. Always waiting for someone to ask for her hand. But out of the blue comes this groovy young man who vows forever to be by her side. And that's the story of our
Victor tries to beat a retreat from the colourful land of the dead. In the grey land of the living, Mayhew and the Van Dort's horse and carriage wait outside the Everglot's house. Victoria stands gazing out of a window.
Victoria, come away from the window. Oh, I'm sure he'll be back shortly. He's terrified of the dark. In fact, when he was a boy, he used to wet his combinations regularly, didn't he, William?
Enter!
The puffed-up Lord Barkis opens the doors.
Lord Barkis, I trust the room is to your liking.
Thank you. You are a most gracious hostess, which is why it pains me to be the bearer of such bad news.
He snaps his fingers and the town crier waddles in.
Would you care to repeat tonight's headline for us?
Hear ye, hear ye! Victor Van Dort seen this night on the bridge in the arms of a mystery woman. The dark-haired temptress and Master Van Dort slipped away into the night.
And now the weather. Scattered
Enough!
Follow.
That will be all.
Barkis waves the town crier away.
Mystery woman? He doesn't even know any women.
Or so you thought. Do call for me if you need my assistance. In any way.
Good heavens, Finnis, what should we do?
Fetch me musket.
Oh, William, do something.
The town crier probably just had a slow news day. You know how it is? You need something to cry about.
Regardless, we are one groom short for the wedding tomorrow. Not to mention the financial implications.
A most scandalous embarrassment for us all. Oh, give us a chance to find him. We beg of you. Just give us until dawn. Very well. Till dawn.
Victor, darling, where are you?
the land of the dead.
If you ask me, your boyfriend is kind of jumpy.
He's not my boyfriend. He's my husband.
Victor, where have you gone?
I'll keep an eye out for him.
Victor!
Victor creeps beside a statue of a skeleton horse. The maggot spots him.
There he goes! There he goes! He's getting away! Quick, quick, after him!
Victor!
She shoves her eye back in its socket and chases after Victor. At a second-hand shop, all hands point where he went.
Thank you. Victor! Where are you?
He steps inside an upright open coffin.
Victor? Where have you gone?
A spider.
Married, huh? I'm a widow. Oh, how rude! He went that way!
Victor runs off.
Victor, darling!
A man sweeps the street.
Please, there's been a mistake. Huh? I'm not dead. You... Oh!
The man's skull falls off.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Huh? Thank you.
A man splits down the middle and passes either side of Victor. Victor reaches a rock face.
Dead end.
Victor starts to climb. At the top are railings. He grabs them, holding himself up, then grabs a bony leg.
Could have used the stairs, silly.
Oh! Ah! Oh,
isn't the view beautiful? It takes my breath away. Well, it would if I had any. Isn't it romantic?
She sits down on a weather-worn wooden bench. Victor sits down beside her.
Look. I am terribly sorry about what's happened to you, and I'd like to help, but I really need to get home.
This is your home now?
But I don't even know your name.
Well, that's a great way to start a marriage.
Shut up!
Victor stares as she shuts her eyelids.
It's Emily.
Emily.
Oh, I almost forgot. I have something for you. It's a wedding present.
Victor picks up a tatty old box with a ribbon round it and shakes it. He sets it on his knees and takes off the lid. He lifts out a small bone.
Thank you.
He replaces the lid. The box starts to shake and topples onto the ground. A little skull, ribcage and bones pop out. They form a shape. The skeleton puppy picks up a shabby red collar in its mouth and trots over to Victor, sits in front of him and begs. The dog's tail is wagging. Victor reaches down and takes the collar. He reads the name tag.
Scraps? Scraps! My dog Scraps!
Scraps leaps up and Victor fastens the collar.
Oh, Scraps, what a good boy.
I knew you'd be happy to see him.
Who's my good boy? Sit. Sit, Scraps. Sit. Good boy, Scraps. Roll over. Roll over. Good boy, Scraps. Play dead. Sorry.
Scraps leaps on Emily.
What a cutie.
You should have seen him with fur. Mother never approved of Scraps jumping up like this. But then again, she never approved of anything.
Do you think she would have approved of me?
You're lucky you'll never have to meet her. Well, actually, now that you mention it, I think you should. In fact, since we're, you know, married, you should definitely meet her. Mm-hmm. And my father, too. We should go and see them right now.
Oh, what a fantastic idea. Where are they buried?
Victor turns his head away.
What? What is it?
They're not from around here.
Where are they?
He points upwards.
Oh, they're still alive.
I'm afraid so.
Oh, well, that is a problem. What's that, Scraps? Oh, no, we couldn't possibly. Oh, well, if you put it like that.
What?
Held a goat necked.
Lightning flashes. A high rocky promontory reaches up to the land of the dead sky. Scraps leads the way up a staircase to an observatory.
Scraps. Elder Goodnecked. Are you there?
A scared Victor lags behind.
Hello? Is anyone home? Hello?
Victor knocks over a book starking birds. Scraps sees a shadow on the wall. A skeleton with a cracked skull and a wispy beard appears.
There you are.
Oh, my dear. There you are.
I brought my husband, Victor.
What's that, husband?
pleasure to meet you, sir.
We need to go up, upstairs, to visit the land of the living.
Land of the living? Oh, my dear.
Please, Elder Goodnight.
Now, why go up there when people are dying to get down here?
Sir, I beg you to help. It means so much to me.
Emily stares.
Us?
I don't know. It's just not natural.
Please, Elder Goodnight. Surely there must be something you can do.
Let me see what I can do. Where did I put that book?
He opens a cupboard and examines the books on a shelf, then opens a drawer. Ravens fly out.
Left it here somewhere.
A book just misses scraps.
Oh, there's the one.
Elder Goodnecht blows the dust off its cover and sets down a bottle, a flask, and a jar. He flicks through the pages of the book. A raven stands on the lectern beside it.
I have it. A Ukrainian haunting spell. Just the thing for these quick trips.
So glad you thought of this.
Me too.
The elder bites the cork out of a flask and pours liquid into a goblet. He takes some powder from the jar, drops it into the goblet, then plucks a feather from the raven and drops it in. A puff of red smoke rises. The elder coughs, then picks up the goblet. He drinks.
Now then, where were we?
The Ukrainian haunting spell?
He picks up the bird, squeezes it, and an egg pops out.
Here we have it. Ready? Just remember, when you want to come back, say hopscotch.
Hopscotch?
That's it.
He breaks the egg and showers them in a golden dust. They emerge in the grey forest by the gnarled old tree. Emily opens her eyes wide and blinks.
I spent so long in the darkness, I'd almost forgotten how beautiful the moonlight is.
She sees a spotted blue butterfly float across the moon. Emily, in her tattered bridal dress, dances in a circle on the snow amongst the shadows of the trees. Emily dances behind Victor, looking at him tenderly, then moves away. Victor takes his fingers to his mouth. Emily's bony leg snaps off.
Hey, I think you dropped something.
She hops back and reconnects it. Victor watches her dance round a tree, her hair matted, and several of her ribs exposed through a tear in her crappy dress. Victor grabs her bony shoulders.
Hold on, hold on.
He sits her down.
I think I should prepare Mother and Father for the big news. I'll go ahead, and you wait here.
Perfect.
I won't be long. Stay right here. I'll be right back.
Okay.
No peeking.
Emily covers her mouth with her hand as she giggles. Victor runs awkwardly between the trees towards the town. The ravens high in the trees watch him. Victor runs up the stone steps to the Everglot's front door. He brushes himself down, then listens.
If ever I see that Van Dort boy, I'll strangle him with my bare hands.
Your hands are too fat, and his neck is too thin. You'll have to use a rope.
The Everglot's lock the front door, unaware Victor's on the other side. Victor goes to the corner of the house while Emily sits alone in the forest.
This is the voice of your conscience. Listen to what I say. I have a bad feeling about that boy. You know, he is no good.
She knocks the maggot from her head.
Go chew someone else's ear for a while. Victor has gone to see his parents, just like he said.
If I hadn't just been sitting in it, I would say that you had lost your mind.
I'm sure he has a perfectly good reason for taking so long.
Oh, I am sure he does. Why don't you go ask him?
All right, I will.
After all, he couldn't get far with those cold feet.
Victor's at the side of the Everglot's house. A creeper climbs around a pillar, which forms one of the supports for a balcony in the house. Victor climbs up it towards Victoria's room. She sits inside sewing. Behind her, Victor climbs over the balustrade and falls onto the balcony. Victoria listens, then carries on sewing. Victor gets to his feet. She turns and sees him. She rushes to the French windows and opens one. Once inside, he slumps against the windows.
Victoria.
Victor, I'm so happy to see you.
Come by the fire. Where have you been? Are you all right?
Oh, dear.
You're as cold as death. What's happened to you? Your coat.
Victoria, I confess. This morning, I was terrified of marriage. But then, on meeting you, I felt I should be with you always, and that our wedding could not come soon enough.
Oh. Victor, I feel the same.
As they move together to kiss, Victor looks beyond her. She sees Emily.
Victoria, I seem to find myself married. And you should know it's unexpected.
Victoria spins round as Emily enters the bedroom.
Hey, darling, I just wanted to meet...
The two women stare at each other.
Darling, who's this?
Who is she?
I'm his wife.
Emily shows off the ring.
Victor?
Victoria, wait, you don't understand. She's dead. Look.
He shakes her skeletal arm. Emily moves away and narrows her eyes. She grabs hold of Victor.
Victoria!
The ravens obliterate Victoria from his view and he and Emily return to the elder.
You lied to me! Just to get back to that other woman!
Don't you understand? You're the other woman.
No! You're married to me! She's the other woman!
She's got a point.
And I thought this was all going so well.
Emily's right eye pops out and falls to the floor. It rolls over to Victor, who picks it up.
Look, I'm sorry, but this just can't work.
Why not?
She snatches it back.
It's my eye, isn't it?
No, your eye is lovely. It's under different circumstances, Will. Who knows? But we're just too different. I mean, you're dead.
You should have thought about that before you asked me to marry you.
Why can't you understand? It was a mistake. I would never marry you.
Emily blinks back tears and turns away, her head bowed. Victor watches as his corpse bride sweeps across the room and starts to descend the outside staircase, her train dragging behind her and her veil billowing in a light breeze. Downstairs, she throws off her headdress and veil and sits on a coffin-shaped sofa. She picks at her bouquet.
Roses for eternal love. Lilies for sweetness. Babies.
She tosses them aside. Scrap sniffs the bouquet. The spider.
Why so blue?
Maybe he's right. Maybe we are too different.
Maybe he should have his head examined.
Emily pulls the maggot from her ear.
I could do it.
Well, Patsy does belong with her.
Little Miss Living.
With her rosy cheeks and beating heart.
Oh, those girls are ten a penny. You've got so much more. You've got a wonderful personality.
Emily stares at the six-eyed spider dangling beside her, and with a maggot pinched between her fingers, looks glum.
What does that wispy little brat have that you don't have done?
She can't hold a candle to the beauty of your smile.
How about a pulse?
Overrated by a mile.
Overvalued.
Overblown.
If he only knew the you that we know.
And that silly little creature isn't wearing his ring.
And she doesn't play piano.
Or dance.
Or sing. No, she doesn't compare.
But she still breathes air.
Who cares?
Unimportant.
Overrated.
Overblown.
If only he could see how special you can be. If he only knew the you that we know.
Emily leans her head on her skeletal arm, which rests on her fleshy one. Then she gets to her feet.
If I touch a burning candle, I can feel the pain. If you cut me with a knife, it's still the same. And I know her heart is beating, and I know that I am dead. Yet the pain here that I feel, try and tell me it's not real. Then it seems that I still have a tear to share.
She slumps down against a red wooden door. Spider and Maggot lower themselves down.
The sole redeeming feature from that little creature is that she's alive.
Overrated!
Overblown!
Everybody knows that's just a temporary state, which is cured very quickly when we meet our fate.
Who cares?
Unimportant!
Overrated!
Overblown!
If only you could see how special you can be, if you only knew the you that we.
Emily tugs the spider and maggot down and pings them up on the silken thread on the web.
If I touch a burning candle, I can feel no pain. In the ice or in the sun, it's all the same. Yet I feel my heart is aching, though it doesn't beat, it's breaking. And the pain here that I feel, try and tell me it's not real. I know that I am dead. Yet it seems that I still have some tears to shed.
One falls from her right eye. In the land of the living of the Everglots.
It's true, Mother. Victor is married to a dead woman. I saw her. A corpse. Standing right here with Victor.
Victor was in your room.
I have to help him.
The scandal.
Oh, come sit in your chair, dearie. You're shaking like a leaf. Let Hilda fetch you a blanket.
Fetch her a straitjacket. She's completely mad. Come, Hildegard.
Mrs. Everglot and Hildegard the maid leave and lock the door. Victoria backs away from the door towards the French windows leading out onto the balcony. Rain falls and lightning flashes. She tries the handles. The window opens. She scuttles out onto the balcony and looks at the drop. She rushes back inside, then throws a blanket over the balcony, reaching towards the ground. Victoria slithers down it. It starts to tear.
Please come to bed at once.
Victoria's dangling above the window of the room her father's in. He turns away. The blanket rips and she falls to the ground. Victoria wraps the edge of the blanket over her head like a hood and runs off. She crosses the humpback bridge outside the town gates and speeds up the steps to the church door.
What in heaven's name? Who could that be at this hour?
Pastor Galswells opens the door.
Miss Everglot, what are you doing here? You should be at home, prostrate with grief.
Pastor Galswells, I have to ask you something.
This is most irregular.
Please, I beg of you. You are the only one in the village who knows of what awaits beyond the grave.
A grim topic for a bride to be.
It is a bride, I fear. Which is why I must know. Can the living marry the dead?
What on earth are you speaking about?
Please, it's Victor. He's married to a corpse. He has a corpse bride. There must be some way to undo what's been done.
I believe I know the thing to do. Come with me.
He snuffs his candle with his fingers. A door opens.
Victoria, where are your corsets?
She's speaking in tongues of unholy alliances. Her mind has come undone, I fear.
It's not true. Let me go. Let me go.
Thank you, Pastor Galswells. Thank you so very much. Take her to her room.
No, I'm telling the truth. Victor needs my help. Hildegard, you believe me, don't you? Mother, Father, please.
Seal the doors and bar the windows. See to it that she doesn't escape again.
He needs our help. Let me go. Let me go.
Will the mortification never cease? It will be years before we can show ourselves in public again. What shall we do?
We shall continue as planned, with or without Vincent.
Victor.
Whatever.
For that boy to toss aside a young woman like Victoria, it's positively criminal. Why, if I had a woman like your daughter on my arm, I would lavish her with riches befitting royalty.
Your lady wife is a most fortunate woman.
Alas, I am not married. I was betrothed some years ago, but tragedy snatched my young bride away. When one lives alone, wealth counts for naught.
The Everglots share a look. Victoria attacks her door with a poker. Her parents enter.
Marvelous news, Victoria. There'll be a wedding after all.
You found him? Make haste, my dear. Our relatives will arrive at any moment. We must have you looking presentable for Lord Barkis.
She drops the poker.
Lord Barkis? He will make a fine husband.
Aye, a fortuitous turn of events indeed.
A far better prospect this time. But I do not love him. You cannot make me do this.
We must.
Please, I beg of you. There must be another way.
Without your marriage to Lord Barkis, we shall be forced penniless into the street. We are destitute.
But Victor...
Victor Van Dorter's gone, child.
You shall marry Lord Barkis tomorrow.
Her parents stand in the doorway.
According to plan!
As the Everglots, she with a high head of hair, tall and with a jutting chin, and a roly-poly little husband with no neck, waddle sedately along the corridor past the family portraits. Lord Barkis peeks at them, then struts off in the opposite direction. He stops by Victoria's portrait.
Oh, my dear. Oh, don't look at me that way. You have only to suffer this union until death do us part. And that will come sooner than you think.
The Van Dorter's carriage.
Oh, it's almost dawn! Where could he be?
Victor Van Dort elopes with corpse! Heartbroken bride to wed wealthy newcomer!
Wealthy newcomer? It cannot be.
Did he say corpse?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. What corpse would marry our Victor? Oh! Mayhew! Silence that blasted coffin!
Mayhew, the coachman with his big whiskers, pipe and tiny top hat, coughs and splutters. Gasping for breath, he tumbles from the carriage. In the land of the dead, the sign swings outside the Ball and Socket Inn. Scraps, the corpse bride's bouquet in his mouth, scampers along in front of the plodding Victor. Scraps drops the flowers and wags his tail. Victor bends down and picks up the bouquet. He walks up the entrance steps into the inn. Emily is playing a piano. Victor walks up behind her.
I think you dropped this.
She doesn't look at him. Victor lays the flowers down in front of her.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I lied to you about wanting to see my parents. It's just this whole day hasn't gone quite well.
He sits beside her.
According to plan.
He copies her melody. She plays the low notes, Victor the high notes. She rests her head on her hand. Her skeleton hand tears off her arm at the wrist and skips up the keys onto Victor's arm, across his shoulders, and down the other arm.
Pardon my enthusiasm.
I like your enthusiasm.
He reconnects hand to wrist.
You are not a fool! You are not a fool!
Boys, up!
Feet, feet. Bonjour, bienvenue, drinks for everyone. Another pint, sir?
No, just a half.
Cockroaches bring the head waiter a jug of ale, but collide with him.
Ah, it is impossible to get good help
anymore.
Welcoming committee, coming through, coming through. Oh.
My name's Plum, Miss Plum.
Mayhew?
The Van Dort's coachman.
Mayhew, how nice to see you.
His face is ashen.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Actually, though, I feel great.
Hurry up, boys. Can you not see the gentleman is parched?
Mayhew, I have to get back. They all must be worried sick. How is everyone?
Well, they're still wondering where you slipped off to. Oh, and Miss Victoria.
Yes, yes, how is she?
Well, she's getting married this evening.
What? Married to who?
Some newcomer, Lord somebody or other.
But that's impossible.
Yeah, with you gone. I guess they didn't want to waste the cake.
Victor hangs his head.
But how could she?
Women. You can't live with them. You can't live with them.
A drunk skeleton falls over.
Time to pick up the pieces and, you know, and move on, I suppose.
Oi. Speaking of picking up the pieces...
The skeleton's in bits. Victor glumly trudges past Emily.
Victor, where are you going?
In her room, Victoria's in her wedding dress.
Miss Victoria, we must leave for the church now.
Yesterday, I thought my wedding would be happy. Now I feel like I'm caught in the tide, pulled out to sea.
The sea leads to many places, dearie. Maybe you'll land somewhere better.
Hildegard shuffles away from a disconsolate Victoria. In the church.
With this candle, I will light your way in darkness.
Everglock looks at his pocket watch and indicates for Barkis to speed things up.
With this ring, I ask you to be mine.
Victoria closes her huge, round, sad eyes.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Hildegard's in tears at the back of the church. Victor sitting in a hallway of upright open coffins, the sprig of flowers from Victoria's piano in his hand. He stares at it morosely.
I'm too late.
He lets it go. As it lands, a few petals fall from it.
Saying a word. Are all men like this?
Well, I'm afraid none of them are very bright. They get something stuck in their heads and you can't do a thing with them.
The cook pulls a knife from a colleague's head.
My dear, we have to talk.
Let me tell her, please. Let me tell her.
What?
There is a complication with your marriage.
I don't understand.
The vows are binding only until death do you part.
What are you saying?
Death has already parted you.
If he finds out, he'll leave.
There must be something you can do.
Well, there is one way.
Oh, please, please, let me tell her.
It requires the greatest sacrifice.
Go on, get to the good part.
What is it?
We have to kill him.
What?
Victor would have to give up the life he had forever. He would need to repeat his vows in the land of the living and drink from the wine of ages.
Poison!
This would stop his heart forever. Only then would he be free to give it to you.
Victor overhears the conversation.
I could never ask him.
Emily sinks to her knees.
You don't have to.
Victor walks up to her.
I'll do it.
My boy, if you choose this path, you may never return to the world above. Do you understand?
Victor takes Emily's hand and she rises.
I do.
Gather round! Gather round, everybody!
Victor and Emily are on the plinth of the skeleton horse statue.
We've decided to do this thing properly. So grab what you can and follow us. We are moving this wedding party upstairs.
Upstairs? I didn't know we had it upstairs.
Ooh. Sounds creepy. Let's go!
Victor leaps down. The spider.
Hold on, Victor. You can't get married looking like that.
The spiders think you're very cute, but goodness knows you need a suit. But have no fears, we're quite adept. We'll have you looking lovely, 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 lovely.
Spiders set to work.
A little stitch, a little tuck, some tender loving care. A little thread will fix you up, a thread for plenty, as you see. And personally guarantee your quality repairs. A little pin will fix the mess. We're going to do our very best. And everybody says they will all be quite impressed.
Is no mistake. It must be quite sublime.
They're missing something.
Show some dust.
I wish I had more time.
Perhaps there's something I can do. These bones might help a bit.
That's my nose.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. That's it.
Well, I.
A little that.
A little this.
The perfect cake is not to miss a wedding. A wedding. We're going to have a wedding.
Huzzah! Huzzah! We're going to have a wedding. Hey! Hey! Let's all give up the cheers. The bride is getting married today.
You can surely say as we will stand aside.
Until the end we will defend our one and only bride. Our bride to be our bride to be our love equal pride.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
Our bride is getting married today.
Oh, there she is. Here she comes.
Corpses, skeletons and Victor turn to see Emily as she glides downstairs with her bouquet.
Come, come, the bride is here. She's waiting for this day.
Wobbly cake is carried shoulder high. Hildegard brings in a minute wedding cake. The guests are in the hall of the Everglot mansion at a long dining table. One's asleep. They prod at the tiny roasted birds on their plates.
Quiet down now, everyone.
Everyone sits glumly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Elegant. Cultured. Radiant. Victoria has found a husband with all these qualities and more. Serendipity brought us together, and no force on earth could tear us apart.
Smoke and flames rise in the fireplace behind Victoria and Barkis. The light gives an eerie colour as the surprised wedding guests glance at one another. Skeletons and ghouls appear behind the Everglots. Bonejangle's eye falls out and lands in Everglot's soup. Everglot scoops it up in his spoon.
There's an eye in me soup.
The dining table has toppled over as guests flee in terror. Barker sticks around in alarm.
Oh, sorry.
Barker abandons Victoria and scurries under the top table. Scraps.
Fetch me musket! Fetch your own musket!
Oh, no!
Coming through!
Coming through!
Two dead skeletal children join Barkis.
Excuse me, you don't know me, but I used to live in your dead mother.
Oh!
Hey, hold on there! I love a woman with meat on her bones!
Oh, my goodness! Who invited these people? Yeah. They must be from your side of the family.
Certainly not. Why, my grandfather Everglot could see this if he's turning in his grave.
Finish.
His dead grandfather.
Where do you keep the spirits?
Arms above their heads, they run away. The guests flood out of the Everglot's front door. The town crier.
In other news...
The dead walk the earth!
The townsfolk cower. The old lady holds up her Zimmer frame.
Get back! Don't go and sneak up on me! Get back! If you shut your wallop!
A family group stand facing the ghouls. A boy cowers behind his mother's apron and watches as Mayhew and a tall, thin zombie walk towards them. The boy steps forward.
No!
He stops in front of the thin zombie, who bends down to him. He lifts the boy up so they're face to face.
Grandpa?
The zombie hugs his grandson.
Sweetie pie, buttercup,
Fred.
Gertrude,
Elfrid. Oh, you've been dead for 15 years.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Townsfolk are reunited with dead friends and relatives. Scraps finds a friendly dog and they sniff each other. At the Everglots, Barkis climbs out from under the top table.
Right, that's it. We're going to take whatever money we can and get out of here.
Money? What money?
Your dowry. It's my right.
My parents don't have any money. It's my marriage to you that will save them from the poorhouse.
The poorhouse? You're lying. It isn't true. Tell me that you're lying.
Did things not go according to your plan, Lord Barkis? Well, perhaps in disappointment we are perfectly matched.
Lord Barkis glowers as Victoria steps daintily but swiftly away from him. His face contorts in a snarl. Victoria stands on the steps, leaning down to the street, and watches in amazement as skeletons walk arm in arm with townsfolk. Scraps cavorts with his new friend, and they all head for the church.
Begone, ye demons from hell! Back to the void from whence you came! You shall not enter here! Back! Back!
Keep it down, we're in a church.
Evening.
Pastor Galswell stops his staff as everyone walks past him. Inside, all heads turn as the two dead children, the girl with her hair in bunches, and the boy in a little blue sailor suit and hat, walk in front of Emily, scattering petals. She smiles when she sees Victor standing in front of the altar. Behind it is Elder Gutknecht, who unstops a flask as Emily makes her unaccompanied way down the aisle. She takes Victor's proffered hand and they face the altar.
Dearly beloved and departed, we are gathered here today to join this man and this corpse in marriage.
Victoria approaches the door. She sees Victor at the altar.
Victor?
Shh. Living first.
Victor and Emily face each other.
With this hand, I will lift your sorrows. Your cup will never empty, for I will be your wine.
Now you?
Victoria creeps into the church and stands in the shadows. Emily stares at Victor.
With this hand, I will lift your sorrows. Your cup will never empty.
She lifts up the flask.
Ryan
B. As she pauses, Emily spots Victoria still in her wedding dress standing by a pillar.
I will be...
Go on, my dear.
Your cup will never empty. For I will be...
I will be your wine.
Victor raises the goblet. She places her hand over it.
Having second thoughts.
Emily drops her gaze and closes her eyes.
I can't.
What's wrong?
This is wrong. I was a bride. My dreams were taken from me. Well, now I've stolen them from someone else. I love you, Victor. But you're not mine.
A tear rolls down her cheek. She stretches out her skeletal hand. Victor turns.
Victoria.
Victoria moves out of the shadows.
One,
Victoria takes Emily's outstretched hand in hers. With her other hand, Emily places Victor's on top of Victoria's and removes her own.
Oh, how touching. I always cry at weddings. Our young lovers together at last. Surely now they can live happily ever after. But you forget.
She's still my wife! I'll not leave here empty-handed!
You.
Emily stares at Barkis.
Emily?
You!
But I left you.
For dead.
This woman is obviously delusional.
Barkis backs Victoria up the aisle. He pulls the sword out of General Bones' apart.
Sorry to cut things short, but we must be on our way.
Take your hands off her.
Victor steps out.
Do I have to kill you too?
Barkis kicks scraps from his ankle.
Victor!
That! A carving fork.
Sorry.
Barkis lunges with a sword. Victor fends it off with the fork. The altar shakes. The elder steadies the goblet. From behind a pillar, Victor stabs Barkis on the thigh.
Oh, sacre bleu!
The head waiter leaps over the plate.
I say, playing fair, sir.
The gentleman splits in two. Victor cowers on a pew as Barkis's blade cleaves into the wood. Victor rips Barkis's jacket with his fork. Barkis lunges again. Victor rolls under the pew. The point of the sword plunges through but misses Victor. And again, he thrusts upward with the fork. Lord Barkis clutches his foot and falls, knocking over the pews. He swipes the fork from Victor's hand. He kicks Victor to the floor and stands over him. Emily runs forward as Barkis strikes with the blade. He runs Emily through. She hauls out the sword. She points it at Barkis.
Touché, my dear.
Get out.
Oh, I'm leaving.
But first, a toast to Emily. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Tell me, my dear, can a heart still break once it's stopped beating?
Let me at him! Let me at him! No, don't
wait.
Hold me back!
We must abide by their rules. We are amongst the living.
Well said.
Barkis takes the goblet from the altar and gulps down its contents. He tosses the goblet aside. Emily watches him walk from the altar to a wooden door.
Not anymore.
Barkis's face is ashen grey.
Yep, you're right. He's all yours.
The ghouls and skeletons descend on Barkis by the wooden door. Victoria covers her eyes. Mrs. Plum shuts the door.
New arrival.
Elder Goodnecht puts the stopper back in the Wine of Ages flask. Victoria.
Oh, Victor, I never thought I'd see you again.
Emily watches them in each other's arms, then smiles wryly. She turns and walks away from them.
Wait. I made a promise.
He walks after her. She turns.
You kept your promise. You set me free.
She takes the wedding ring from her finger and places it in the palm of Victor's hand. She wraps his fingers round it and holds his hand in hers.
Now I can do the same for you.
Emily about turns and glides up the aisle towards the open door, her tattered veil wafting behind her as she walks out into the moonlight. Victor, who stands, his lips shut and his head still, watches her go. A breeze gets up as she reaches the door. Behind her, Victor and Victoria stand hand in hand, and Maggot crawls onto Widow Munch's shoulder. Emily glances back for a final look before tossing her bouquet into the air behind her. Widow Munch catches it. She sees Maggot raise an eyebrow and throws the bouquet away. Victoria catches it and stares at Victor. They both look to the door and the corpse bride. As Emily leaves the church, her veil rises. and from it stream thousands of butterflies. Emily is bathed in a white light. The butterflies swirl around Emily, then up into the night sky as she vanishes in the light. Victor and Victoria take her place in the doorway. Victor places an arm around Victoria, and they lean their heads together as they stare up at the bright moon and the butterflies silhouetted against it. ITFC audio description by James O'Hara. Directed by Mike Johnson, Tim Burton. Produced by Tim Burton and Alison Abett. Screenplay by John August and Caroline Thompson and Pamela Petler. Executive producers Jeffrey Auerbach, Joe Ranft. Director of photography, Pete Kozacik. Production design by Alex McDowell. Edited by Jonathan Lucas, Chris Leppinson, ACE. Score and songs by Danny Elfman. Original characters created by Tim Burton and Carlos Grangel. A Tim Burton, Leica Entertainment, Patalex 2 Productions. Production. Art director Nelson Lowry. Associate producers Tracy Shaw, Derek Frey. Production manager Harry Linden. First assistant director Ezra J. Sumner. Casting Michelle Guish. Cast Victor Van Dort, Johnny Depp. Corpse Bride, Helena Bonham Carter. Victoria Evergott, Emily Watson. Nell Van Dort, Hildegard, Tracy Ullman. William Van Dort, Mayhew, Paul the Head Waiter, Paul Whitehouse. Madeleine Evergott, Joanna Lumley. Finnis Evergott, Albert Finney. Barkis Bittern, Richard E. Grant. Pastor Gorswell's Christopher Lee. Elder Gutnecht, Michael Goff. Black Widow Spider, Mrs. Plum, Jane Horrocks. Maggot, Town Crier, N. Reitel. General Bonesapart, Deep Roy. Bone Jangles, Danny Elfman. Emil, Stephen Ballantyne. Solemn Village Boy, Lisa Kay. Score and songs produced by Danny Elfman. Soundtrack album on Warner Sunset, Warner Brothers Records. According to plan, performed by Albert Finney, Joanna Lumley, Tracy Ullman, and Paul Whitehouse. Remains of the Day, performed by Danny Elfman, Jane Horrocks, Paul Baker, Alison Jair, and Gary Martin. Tears to Shed, performed by Helena Bonham Carter, Jane Horrocks, and N. Reitel. Tannhauser Pilgrim's Chorus, written by Richard Wagner, performed by Simon Preston. The Wedding Song, performed by Danny Elfman, Jane Horrocks, Paul Baker, Alison Jair, and Gary Martin. Tara theme written by Max Steiner. This motion picture copyright 2005, Patalex 2 Productions Limited. Story and screenplay copyright 2005, Warner Brothers Entertainment Inc. Original score copyright 2005, Warner Barham Music, LLC. All material is protected by copyright laws of the United States and all countries throughout the world, all rights reserved. Country of first publication, United States of America. Patalex 2 Productions is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or copying of this film, or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. The story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. In memory of Joe Ranft. Distributed by Warner Brothers, a Time Warner company.